This is Wade Rath here with the Chief Organizer's Report on waking up the sleeping giant and building a renter's voting block. It's hard to escape the feeling country to country that low and moderate income families, and just possibly even families with more money, are rapidly consolidating into a permanent class of renters. Certainly in some cities in the world, like New York City, Toronto, London, and elsewhere, this has long been the case. In the U.S., though, it's a bumpier transition because the dominant narrative in the vast expanse of the land is that the American dream includes home ownership. Increasingly, that dream comes with a disclosure now that you better be ready to move to smaller towns and cities and or rural areas if you want to live that dream. In the U.S., the number of renters and therefore potential renters' votes are rising. Renter votes increased 49% between 1996 and 2012, while owner votes only increased 23%, according to analysis of U.S. Census data. According to data reported by the Wall Street Journal, nonetheless, just 22% of voters cast in the 2012 election were by renters, according to the analysis. But as the renter population grows, Apartment List, a rental leasing website, estimates that one-third of eligible voters in this election could be renters. Based on historical voting patterns, renters would likely cast about one-quarter of the votes, a small but meaningful increase from the last election. This sleeping giant traditionally has not stirred much around Election Day. Renters are often seen as more transient, though some data increasingly finds that voting rates are as low for stable tenants as they are for frequent movers. They are also younger and poorer, none of which are huge vote movers. Furthermore, owners vote more consistently than renters. Another statistic in the journal piece points to a potential game changer as anger over cost and affordability continues to rise. The number of cost-burdened renters, those who spend more than 30% of their incomes on rent, has risen by 3.6 million since 2008 to a historic high of 21.3 million in 2014, according to Harvard University's Joint Center for Housing Studies. In the meantime, the number of cost-burdened owners has declined by 4.4 million since 2008 to 18.5 million. The presidential campaign is silent on the issue of renters and rising rents, and housing prices are at the heart of the entire Trump business model, so we shouldn't be surprised. Either way, if any of them have a plan, it's a secret. There's a way to change this, though, and wake the sleeping giant. Put issues directly on the ballot in cities and states wherever possible that allow the people to step in with solutions where politicians fear to tread on campaign contributions from developers. Just as Acorn did earlier in place after place on living wages, we need to start crafting initiatives from our renter's bill of rights, from rent control to dedicated spending for public and subsidized affordable housing. Organizationally, we need to craft proposals that meet the crisis and the interests of tenants and bring them out to polls in force to alter this landscape. We need to make sure there are consequences as well. As campaign discussions wound down on the prospects of winning a comprehensive and enforceable landlord licensing ordinance or bylaw in Toronto, Acorn's head organizer there, John Anderson, noted flatly that either the council passed the measure this fall or they would likely see the issue as the largest issue in the next election. As the votes of renters are triggered in just that way everywhere, the issue is rising. That's not a threat or a promise, but virtually a take-it-to-the-bank prediction. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.